Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin. Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full-time. That's 30%. I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. 500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000 of you. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, all you do, going beyond the headlines
that focus on the facts. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
All right, it's 3 minutes past five, and in the bustling city of Lagos, millions of people making their way home, either on the island or the mainland, or even out of the state, where I know a large troop of people work and leave. All right, so on the Big Hatchback today, we are going to be talking about something that concerns you and I. We are going to be looking at what has been the fate of a couple of thousands of people who live in Lagos State. And they represent a growing number of people who have been displaced from their homes following physical planning, development control actions by the state government. On the 8th of February, the bulldozers moved on the Okeagon community in Kayetoro, which is by Lekko Junction in Ibeju-Lekki. This is off the Lekki-Epe Expressway. And at least 200 houses were destroyed, and leaving several people homeless. So the task force carried out this exercise, according to eyewitnesses, at about 3 a.m. Monday, the 8th of February. And this is today's the 12th of March. So 2 months after, we're taking our lenses and our microphones to speak with the people. The victims are quoted to have said that this has left them in a state of despair and frustration, because they had tried to reach out to the state government before the demolition exercise had happened, and all of that proved to no avail. They wrote letters to the governor, to the speaker of the State House of Assembly, which incidentally had scheduled meetings with the community to find a way out, because up until now they've neither been resettled or compensated. No fault of theirs that the community was destroyed. They wrote to Physical Planning, Lands Bureau, some sort of unclear state of where, you know, they bought the land where they had stayed for a number of years from natives. So it did have official title at the end of the day. But like it has happened, not just in Okeagon, in Kayetoro, it's happened across several parts of Lagos in recent times. If you haven't thought about it, you're probably running into scores of residences that have been demolished, and people left simply in the dark on what to do next. So that's the background to the discussion we're going to be having on the Big Hat Fact today. You can always join the conversation on social media. We're streaming this live on YouTube as well as on Facebook. It's at Nigeria Info FM, hashtag Nigeria Info HF. You can also join us on WhatsApp. Number is 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. That's where we're having this big conversation. And I do hope that we will get to the bottom of this and see if people can get some sort of reprieve. I'm expecting the president of the African Bar Association, who's taking up this case, and hopefully he'll come in and then help shed some light on certain rights that people have that may have been infringed upon today. So that sets the ball rolling for us. Take a quick break. We'll come back and then we can begin this interview. It's 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Through information.
Is it appropriate for a policeman to be searching through somebody's phone?
No, it is wrong.
The problem that the lecturers have against IPPIS is very simple. Our lecturers, they are teaching, not teaching in the University of Lagos alone. They are teaching in other universities, private, public, state, all kind of universities. Now, this IPPIS is cut off this madness. So that is what they are against. No, they feel like the federal government is a corrupt government. So let them be chopping their own at the federal level. Why the university will be chopping their own at the university level, academic level? And it can't continue like that.
Your reliable station for more information around Nigeria. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Talk
is what we do.
You know, the youth of Nigeria have historically been apathetic towards the electoral process. There's no way for the youth to participate in mainstream fields like oil and gas, banking, and so on. The youth are actively excluded from those fields. And so we just created our own way in tech.
Informed analysis. Reliable. Accurate.
We actually advocate you get your eyes checked at least once a year. When you go for an eye check, the routine things they check, they do for you is to check your visual acuity. Visual acuity is how good you see. A lot of us don't actually know that we don't see so well. But because, like I said earlier, we can count money, we think we're doing very well.
Your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
The voice note on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
From independence till death, what we've had are a bunch of people, good people in many respects, but stumbling into power with no text, with absolutely no idea what they're going to do with power. In part because successive presidents have always been brought from somewhere on parachutes to become presidents of Nigeria. The result of all this is that we have a severely, as I say, severely fractured nation that is neither going nor coming. And every time a government comes in, it proves to be worse than the one that came before. But I think what is most important and most significant is that we need, going forward, to think a little bit more clearly about where are we, how are we hurting, and why are we hurting? Because every segment of this country is hurting. People who are from the south think, well, we are suffering because the northerners have taken over everything. Northerners say, well, we are suffering because the southerners control almost all the economy. The minority say we complain because the dominant ethnic groups are the ones that are persecuting us. Truth of the matter, we are in this together. We either hang together or we will hang separately.
The voice note on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
We may blame the politicians, but what about the electorate? The electorate also is to be blamed. The electorate has insatiable thirst and hunger for things that they have not worked for. They have been trained and they no longer listen to ideas. One of the pains that one has to endure when you confront your typical African electorate is to convince the electorate that ideas count for something. Many times when you address the electorate and you are waxing eloquent telling them, when I'm elected, I'm going to ensure that we have good health services. We are going to ensure that we have good schools. We are going to ensure that we create opportunities for innovation and invention and create opportunities for young men and women. They are waiting for you to finish. They will tell you, we hear you. We know you are going to do all those beautiful things. But in the intervening period, I must eat. And therefore, no matter how beautiful your ideas are, if you don't carry money on that day, your ideas, like the elephant before them, will never fly.
All right, welcome back. And just trying to get Hannibal Waifu in, but got stuck in traffic and very close by. But before the interview starts, I think it would be great to just listen to what you have to say. If you have been at any point in time affected by is what you call development efforts, total clearance, demolition exercise is basically what it is, the disruption of the lives of people and their homes have been, you know. If you have been in that sort of situation, I'd love to hear from you. If you haven't been and you think about what people go through and want to react to a city that refuses to stop growing, and many times in creating new towns, the state government has thought it that the best way to go about this is to enforce development control and to carry out urban renewal. And one of the methods to carry out is urban renewal isn't by economic revitalization or rehabilitation of settlement. It's been by the demolition of settlement, demolition of houses, of communities, of neighborhoods. As I said, last count, I said at least 20 of those sort of communities have been destroyed, demolished by the state government. We haven't heard what has happened to the people who lived, which has often been a question in terms of planning with the human face. What has happened to these people? 0700-993-993-993. It's a big discussion we're having this evening, and I'd love to hear from you. Again, 0700-993-993-993. There's a number on WhatsApp. If you're just new, you want to join us on WhatsApp. It's 0700-993-99... Oh, sorry, WhatsApp. 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. I see Friday from Gwaleri is calling in. Hello, Friday, and good evening.
Yeah, good evening, my brother.
Great. Great to have you join us.
Yeah. I want to say this because I have been a VT before. That was in the early 2000 at Alabasuru. Then I had a shop there when I was managing myself fairly close. You know that the same day that the government came, that was the government, the region of Tinubu, when they came to scatter that place, it was also in the night. We were not there. If you are giving us notice, then if I was there that day, I would be able to pass some of my belongings and relocate to another shop where I can keep on selling, keep on going with my business.
So that they came in at night?
Yeah, they came in at night at Alabasuru, yeah. The region of Tinubu.
We were never compensated or resettled.
There was no compensation. Nothing like that. Look at what happened to these people now.
Yeah.
They also came in, you said, around 3 a.m. in the morning.
3 a.m.,
that
yes.
was in 3 a.m. Okay, let's assume some of the people, they have a way of carrying their belongings. Where would they take it to that night? Imagine the security situation of Lagos State now. For me, I believe, is it not only cheap that you come to people's house at night? How would our government be coming to us at night? The other day, we had cost on going to a market in the weather or your state, even in the night, also in the night. See, where will we go from here? Where will not this stop? Thank you very much. It's painful.
Thank you very much, Friday, who's also been a victim of late night, early morning demolition. And makes you wonder, where is the face of planning, the human face of planning, when you carry out this sort of development control exercises? 0700-993-993-993. The case study here is Okeagon, Kayetoro community, which faced the demolition exercise, faced the bulldozers on the 8th of February, and 2 months after, we're asking the question, where is the human face in all of this? Those people who live in the community still have had no reprieve. Many of them say even up until now, they still have no idea why the houses were pulled down. Abdulrazak is a first-time caller, and he joins us on the Big Hat Fact. Hello, Abdulrazak.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Great to have you join us this afternoon.
I'm really appreciated.
Good.
Mr. Oho.
Right.
I happen to be a victim
of this particular community. Yes.
At Lagos Island. It's the market.
Oh,
market.
Great. Tell us about it.
Sometime 2019, we were forced to pay a reallocation of a shop.
Good.
To local government. We pay roughly 11,500 naira each to each shop to local government.
Good.
They said it was reallocation of the shop to us.
Mm.
January 2nd this year, the whole market was demolished.
Mm.
The whole market. I have all the certificates, the allocation of the shop certificate. It was issued last year. Last year around March.
And this was issued by the state authority, right?
By local government, Lagos Island East Development Council.
Hmm.
So we are in mess, my brother. We are in mess.
So from January up till now,
there's nothing like competition. There's nothing like January 2nd, this year, the whole shop was demolished. They only give us 48 hours notice.
Wow. Wow.
They only give us 48 hours notice. And there is nothing like, you people that are doing so business, you relocate to this, or, stay like this. Nothing like that. Nothing.
Mm.
I'm telling you. Mm. You can confirm with this, what I'm telling you on national radio.
Mm.
You can confirm it from other people.
Mm.
They put telephone market, simply St. Xavier Street, Lagos Island, very close to Sura Market.
Demolished. Thank you very much, Abdulrazak. And, it's a question that's been often asked when the state government carries out the demolition. Is it to reinstate the master plan, which has been in existence? Oftentimes, it hasn't always happened in that way. Physical planning is the allocation of land uses according to spaces, oftentimes the spatial allocation of land uses. And if you look at a place like Lagos, increasingly it's commercial. So oftentimes the argument on why you demolish a residential community and then you reaward those plots for super highbrow estates, and you ask yourself, why was it demolished in the first instance if you were going to have houses for exclusively rich people occupy those spaces? So those are questions that begging for answers. Hello and good evening, Femi. Remy, rather.
Hi, how are you?
Great. You're calling in from Akoka, Remy?
Yes.
Excellent.
The modus operandi of APC since 99 is what you just said. They know how to demolish buildings.
Mm. Oh, so sorry about that, but do try call back. I'd love to hear. A lot of people apparently have been affected by this, and this has been going on for many years, and the jury's out. Very few people actually get reprieve at the end of the day. The way this is usually done, in my years in the field, when I did carry out physical planning with the Housing Authority or with the FCDA in Abuja, you'd have to first and foremost issue out notices saying that there's been an aberration in what has happened. The demolition is the last stage that this can happen. And even before that has happened, according to the country's Urban and Regional Planning Law, 1992 was the decree that has been amended, 2004 Planning Act, requires that the following steps are taken: 7, and then 21 days notice. And even if that has happened, you still have to create the opportunity where people can intervene, and a resettlement, especially when the occupants of that area have documents showing that they have a legal right to be in those spaces has to be taken into consideration. And all of that is taken into consideration before the demolition happens. And oftentimes it is with a human face. And so in other words, if you think about it, to carry out these demolitions requires a lot of money. The tractors they're using, the bulldozers they're using, the policemen, the men who are used for this exercise are paid. They're paid from the public purse. So you would have to put out the argument that if I'm going to go out for a demolition exercise, what, millions of naira? Is there any better way we can save the money, save the properties that are going to be demolished, which even cost more at the end of the day and will make the state even poorer if it eventually happens? So those are people who, for example, in Abuja had celebrated Nasser al-Rufai for demolishing 70,000 houses. And I never asked the question, how many were built in place of the 70,000 while he was minister of the FCT, which was a big argument in the planning circles about total clearance or demolition in the pursuit of urban renewal. Okpe is calling in, I see, from... Okpe, where are you calling in from?
Igbogbo in Ikorodu here.
Igbogbo. It's been a while I heard about Igbogbo. Yes. How is Igbogbo?
Igbogbo is fine.
Good. All right, go ahead.
In December 2017, a demolition was carried out in our community here by the state government, saying that to give that way and in the interest of the general public, as we speak, 4 years, going to 4 years, they promised to pay us compensation. And as we speak, no cob has been paid to date.
For four years.
Do you understand, sir? As I speak, the influential ones, those who know the way, have been settled. So sometimes last month, the governor was in our local government here, and he promised that before me that this thing will be settled, that everything will be settled. But after he left, what people are saying is just a mere political statement.
He said before me.
The only house that I know that where I was born, we are not equally blessed by God. So the only house that we have that we are supposed to live until God will make our own, we have been dispossessed of it. And they promised us that they are going to pay compensation. But as I speak, no compensation was paid or has been paid to this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Okpe. And it's a familiar story. Houses demolished, families disrupted from their homes, and then there's promise from the political actors that you will get resettled, you will get compensated. 4 years here, I've had 5 years, and some even longer. I wish I can get people who can tell me if they've pursued legal means to see if you can force the matter in court and get some resolution. But we're going to go on a quick break first. By the time we come back, I'm sure Hannibal, the wife, will be in, and from the legal point of view, you'll probably be able to help us understand the hope for the... Now I'm looking at 1,000 in Kayetoro community in Okeagon, which is the community which we have in focus here. But from the calls I'm getting, probably we'll have several thousands whose homes have been demolished in this state and have never been compensated or resettled. And the sad story is that the demolitions continue to happen without a letdown. Let's go on a quick break. It's the Hard Factor 99.3 Nigeria Info, and we will be right back. Let's talk offline.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. And half past five, 24 minutes to six. Let's get on with the matter very quickly. Hannibal Owaifo is the president of Africa Bar Association and is finally found his way in the wahala of all the movement and everything. But great to have you join us on the Big Hat Fact. Hannibal Owaifo.
Thank you so much. Happy to be with you once again.
Yeah, it's been a while. Hannibal is now all around the country, continent, trying to find ways to make our continent better, and importantly, Nigeria better in how the rule of law is applied to situations. So, Hannibal Owaifo, this matter, this Kayetoro community. I opened the phone line shortly before you came in, and it's shocking the numbers of people who've been evicted from their homes, thrown out, just like the people in Kayetoro, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., some months, years now, and there's been no hope in sight for them to get either compensated or resettled, even when they are legal title holders. And this has been going on for such a long while. Let's get your reaction first and foremost to this.
Well, thank you very much. The Kayetoro matter is a very tragic situation. But I'm happy to a level, and I want to say it so because it's good to always be truthful and always be up and doing when situation arises. As tragic as it is, I'm happy that I was called from the office of the special assistant to the governor,
right,
asking us to provide some documents of destruction that took place there, even though I thought they know, because STV and STV channels, TV, so many stations,
right,
and newspapers have discussed the matter and shown the monumental destructions that took place there.
Right.
So, but were we obliged? Because I wanted to find out what's the purpose. So if they say bring the discussions, someone said, well, maybe the Lagos State government is listening to us. And I believe too that probably the governor sent the letter of protest, you know, to his special advisor to look at. Probably they are going to do something. I don't know. I tried to find out, but, you know, civil service, you know, we are also lawyers. We know the profession.
Right.
And we know secrecy that lies behind government, right, particularly governments in Nigeria. So we said, well, let's see what happens.
Right.
And then also, I'm also happy that, you know, someone also called me, the secretary to the Committee on Physical Planning.
Right.
He also called me and said the Physical Planning Committee of the Lagos State House of Assembly,
right,
is also scheduling a meeting to meet with us. We'll be trying to arrange the dates, but I believe that between now and before the week runs out, they should, right, be able to get a date,
right,
for us to go there. So in that direction, I want to say, well, maybe the government is now having a rethink, because like I said in some of my presentations,
right,
you know, both on TV and on radio and in newspapers, you know, print and electronic, I did say that the time has come when these destructions must stop.
Right.
You know, you can't, if you, people are built on land,
right,
you know, whether they are for government or they are not for government, it's time for us to have the way to punish those who sold government land as against poor citizens who are your electorate, who elected you into power,
right,
and who take time off to try to live a life despite the fact that government is not doing anything for them.
Right.
They try to pick up the pieces, sell tomatoes, sell newspapers, and then gradually they manage to go on. And then they buy cements and all these things on credit,
right,
that will be paid in years. And then you come, boom, with, right, your caterpillar, it shows.
You know, Hannibal, the essence of every law oftentimes is said that the law is made for man.
Yes.
Not man made for the law. And I know it's frustrating sometimes when people want to apply the law and don't realize that this 200 houses destroyed represent 200 families, thousands of people whose lives and their social interactions have been disrupted just like that. What do you think is sometimes the rush and the hastiness to go ahead and do this without considering the consequences this would do to thousands of people?
I think that, you know, for me, like I did say, I think that most of it have to do with thoughtlessness, you know, hypocrisy, bad governance, and also politics.
Right.
The rush to compensate those who are political patrons, or those who are political protégés,
right,
and all that. And it doesn't work well. Because if you need the people to get to the office of governor or any other office in our land,
right,
you also need to know that it is the people who will support you. So the reasons behind it is everything but noble. And it cannot be supported. Because even when government claims to have land, the Land Use Act is very clear.
Right.
The land is held in trust for the people. It doesn't belong to the governor. It doesn't belong to the commissioners.
Right.
It doesn't belong to those who lead government. It doesn't belong to politicians. So if, for instance, I as president of Uganda and also a lawyer,
right,
I will not support a situation where people, no matter how poor or how rich they are, build on a land meant to for public hospitals or for hospital that is genuinely met. I'm not talking about a fake or trump up hospital. I'm talking about a hospital that is genuinely made for hospital. A government takes the land, builds the hospital, and then the people enjoy it, or it's meant for secondary school or primary school. Those type of things will not be allowed. But even then,
right,
what I keep asking is, when these things are taking place, where is the government? Where are government agencies? Where are the physical planning authorities?
Right.
Are they not sitting there collecting all sorts of bribes from different people and then allowing them to continue to do this, only to come at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. with spurious, you know, notices or whatever you call it,
right,
and claims, vandalize the whole place, destroy everywhere, and render people's lives useless? Do we know what comes out of this?
Mm.
Do we know what how these people end up? Some of them end up committing suicide because they are owing money.
Right.
Some of them end up committing disrupting. Family ends up being disrupted.
Right.
Because the wife can no longer have anywhere to stay, so he goes to the mother's place or go to his parents' place and all that. From there, different things start to happen.
Right.
Children can't go to school anymore. There is a total destruction, dislocation of the whole family.
Right.
That is why I've been advising government, we either take proactive steps. If you take land from communities, since the land, before the Land Use Act, communities used to own land,
right,
and they give it out to people.
Right.
Until the Land Use Act came. So if government takes land and pay the owner's compensation,
right,
government must make adequate arrangement to secure the land.
Right.
Just like it provides that individuals secure their land.
Right.
Just like when me and you or I and any other person buy land,
right,
we secure it.
Right.
Government must secure his land. He cannot keep quiet for 10 years, for 15 years, after people are built there.
Right.
Then you now go
Hannibal,
and,
sorry,
and use Caterpillar to whatever
you call
it.
Can I put you on a pause, take a quick break? Hannibal Wifo is the President African Bar Association. I'll focus on demolitions carried out by the state this time around Kaietoro community, Okeagon, which is at the Bayeleko Junction in Ibeji, Leko of the Lekki-Epe Expressway, happened on the 8th of February. Over 200 homes destroyed, and there's still been no compensation or settlement, and we're sort of using this to spread across a number of demolitions that have happened in the state and have all had the same sort of results. 99.3 Nigeria Info, let's talk.
Uplifting the nation through information.
Is it appropriate for a policeman to be searching through somebody's phone?
No, it is wrong.
The problem that the lecturers have in JPIPIS is very simple. Our lecturers, they are teaching, not teaching in the University of Lagos alone. They are teaching in other universities, private, public, state, all kind of universities. Now, this JPIPIS is caught off this madness. So that is what they are against. No, they feel like the federal government is a corrupt government. So let them be chopping their own at the federal level while the university be chopping their own at the university level, academic level, and it can't continue like that.
Your reliable station for more information around Nigeria. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
All right, welcome back. I know a lot of lines buzzing, but because we've taken the first half to take in the questions and the reactions, I'll just give Hannibal Owaifo, African Bar Association President, the opportunity to respond to some of these things. There's this feeling of helplessness, Hannibal, from people who've called in, saying that this has happened and they have nothing to do, even though it's very clear what the role of government should be. I mean, the fundamental food, clothing, shelter, these are things that people, the basic necessities of life we talk about, but housing, unfortunately, where this is covered in, many people feel when they've been chased out, someone in Igbogbo, someone in Ikorodu, different parts of the state, they haven't gotten anything and they've just kept quiet. What should anyone do if he's forcefully evicted from his home?
First and foremost, I think it's a shame and an indictment on government,
right,
if a citizen is left homeless and has nothing to do.
Right.
If a citizen's house has been destroyed by government and he has nothing to do, it's a shame and it's an indictment on government. Not only Lagos State government,
right,
which is very, who carries out this action frequently, but also on any other government at that, whether in Nigeria or in the continent.
Right.
Don't forget, the prosperity of Lagos is not brought by the government of Lagos.
Mm.
It's brought by those who enter Lagos and who make developments, who do. The houses you are destroying, people paid for those lands, whether legally or illegally.
Right.
People went to buy cement. People bought sand. And this is just commerce that is raising the Lagos. Later, people will have houses to stay, to do short business and all that. So it's all these businesses, particularly the small-scale businesses,
right.
Small-scale business entrepreneurs, have multiplier effect on the economy of Lagos.
Mm.
Without that, Lagos will not be what it is. So Lagos should be the protector of all citizens. Just like our present governor always advocates.
Right.
Lagos State should protect everyone. It is time we stop destroying houses and giving to friends and businessmen and politicians.
Mm.
It's time for us to take up a policy. If government have taken over a land which it can no longer reclaim as a result of some individuals who are unscrupulous, government should hold them accountable. Prosecute them and deal with them, but not to destroy people's houses and render innocent people who are helpless, homeless, and useless.
Mm.
That's what is presently happening.
Mm.
That's not justice. Government can claim illegality between your legal, but also between your a government and its own citizens does not make any sense.
Absolutely.
With all due respect, it does not make sense.
Absolutely. I mean,
so we need to stop all this.
Absolutely. I'm shocked. I mean, my major in university, urban and regional planning, and development control was part of an essential part in physical development and physical planning. And total clearance or demolition, like which you see, was something which was frowned on. You did not write an examination on urban renewal, and you recommended demolition or total clearance. You'd be failed. I mean, it wasn't considered to be forward thinking.
Correct.
You had things like economic regeneration, you had things like rehabilitation, you know, as ways in which you could carry out urban renewal, build
absolutely
new towns.
Absolutely.
But we haven't seen this employed here. It's sort of a easy way out in trying to force development in places by completely demolishing. A number of people have said also to ask the question that if you have these things happen on a wide scale, they talk about the inequitable distribution of wealth and the gap between the super rich and the super poor, where the super poor unfortunately have nothing to do or to fight back, has been a real cause for concern. The rich guy, someone said, they found their way and got compensated, but they unfortunately didn't get any compensation or were not even resettled.
Well, I think what you said is, I'm very proud to see media practitioners. I just came from a press conference where I stressed the rule of law and talked about our 2021 annual conference coming up, which is basically centered around accountable governments in Africa as a panacea to the unending conflicts in the continent.
Right.
Once government is accountable, once government it's for the people, when government works for the people, there are no crises. But when government works for itself, as we see in Nigeria, as we see across the continent, then there's crisis. You will not have crisis in a place like Botswana, because Botswana can, you know, for years when Festus Mogae was president,
right,
he easily was rated by the UN as the best, most administered country in the world.
Mm.
You see that happening, you know. So, and you see that happening in one or two other countries.
Mm.
I'm not going to count South Africa, because South Africa, it's you know, has joined the league of totally debased and disorganized society.
Interesting, Nigeria is in the second week of a judicial workers lockdown. Would you consider Nigeria as part of that group?
Well, it's unfortunate that my own country is in this quagmire. But just soon, I mean, the judicial autonomy is in the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we here? So this is a tragedy of the nation. This is the tragedy of the African people.
Mm.
Nobody wants to consider. Go and see what the State House of Assemblies are doing. You know, legislating on fabulous allowances for ex-governors who have made themselves super rich.
Mm.
Three houses here, 100% salary, helicopter to go, 10 buildings in Abuja, policemen for life, all kinds of. Where are you going with all these things?
Mm.
A man who could barely afford 3 square meals have not been voted by these people whose houses you are destroying. You destroy their houses, you now go back and look, come on, there is injustice and it will not last. The day of reckoning is coming.
Mm.
I don't pray that we enter into chaos. I'm not a supporter of chaos. The African bar does not support anarchy. But it's the way you lay your bed, that's how you are going to lie on it.
Mm.
So the earlier we start reversing this trend, the better. And that's my advice to the Lagos State government.
Right.
This carator matter should be the last. The people were not under electric tension, high tension wires. The people were not obstructing public highways. The people were not, and then you say illegal structures, big houses of that nature that people have labored for 10, 12 years to put together. You have the effrontery to call it an illegal structure? Come on. That is the most callous act of wickedness. that Governor Sanwo-Olu should not tolerate. Because the houses were not illegal structures. They may be illegal in terms of maybe you don't have PUD permits.
Right.
But not that the structures, or not that they were illegal structures, as if you are talking about shanties.
Mm.
That's the those who were talking on behalf of government tend to portray. Come on, government should have credibility.
Right. All right. This is a matter we are going to be on for a while. And as I say, it's a rolling conversation. And we hope that with the African Bar Association involved in this whole thing, we would find some light at the end of this tunnel for, if not, the hundreds of families that have been affected by the demolition in Kaieteur, and hope, like you say, it'll be the last.
Yes, hopefully. I believe that Governor Sanwo-Olu has been listening and he's been seeing things. And I believe that he's a new governor of a new generation.
Right.
And I believe, too, that if we act on this and get these people who are at the brink of total annihilation out of this quagmire they're in. I'm talking particularly about the Kaieteur episode, which is the latest.
Mm. All right, we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much, Hannibal Owaifo, President, African Bar Association. And we'll touch bases with you now and again and see what the association can do, especially in the rule of law and other matters of national interest.
Thank you very much. I'll be glad to be back.
All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's an opportunity for you to win 10,000 naira, or know who's won 10,000 naira in just a minute. Please stay with us.